and the time will be our time, and the grass won't be no more.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show with Dad's Point of View. This is a special edition, as I am on holiday somewhere far away in a time zone 10, 12, 14 hours away. I may be off the coast of Oman, or I may be at the Taj Mahal. I don't know exactly where I'm going to be, but I am far away, and I am pre-recording this very special show on dating and relationships with the happily married couple, and we will get how many years they've been married so I can stop joking about it, of Jason and Dr. Jennifer Weberman. Welcome back to the show, the two of you.
Thank you.
The official number is 7 years.
And how long have you known each other?
We've been together for 10.
Okay, well, may there be literally 50 more, if not
God willing.
More.
God willing.
My parents were married 66 years and were together 73. So
wow. That
is a lofty goal. Now,
God,
we started talking about the three relationship landmines in segment one of money, sex, and the kids. We only got to money. So the question to you, and you have to make an on-the-spot live, even though this is a pre-record decision, do you want to continue with that, or do you want to go on to another topic?
I definitely think we should finish it. What do you think, honey?
I'm going to defer to you, my love.
Oh my God,
you
okay. Guys
are disgusting.
So much control. No.
Yeah, I just nauseated myself there a little bit.
Oh my God, I want to throw up right now. Excuse me. All right, okay, you know, nobody ever really cares about sex, but let's talk about why sex is a landmine in a relationship.
Oh, I know, it's so boring to talk about sex. And we should clarify, sex and intimacy, because, you know, intimacy can mean lots of other things besides actual intercourse. But I think sexual chemistry, and my husband says this all the time, is really important in a relationship. But I think men and women view sex or approach sex differently. And I would hate to speak in stereotypes, but
you think?
I think that men use sex as a way to connect. So if they're feeling disconnected, they're going to want to have sex to reconnect, whereas women need to feel the connection in order to want to have sex. Jason, do you agree with that or disagree with that?
No, I completely agree. I think that women really do need that connection. They need to know that they're on the same page with their husband. And we do use sex as a way to reconnect, and it's kind of a conflict there.
Well, let me add to this discussion by giving you my point of view, which is men can make love to a shoe, and they'll be perfectly happy. Women might like shoes, but they need to make love to a living, breathing, caring, funny, good human being. And that's why men are slugs in this regard, in my opinion, and women have a little more depth. Women have their failings and shortcomings as well, but that's my take on sex.
Wow,
yeah,
that was quite
the
analogy.
And it's changed. You used to say that men would have sex with a shoe and women want to buy the shoe.
Right.
I think that's how you started it out. But basically, because if your female partner, your wife, or, you know, et cetera, doesn't want to have sex with you anymore, you need to look at the relationship and see where it's not working, because she obviously doesn't feel as connected anymore.
It's not usually because she's not interested in sex. She's not interested in having intimacy with you because you're a jerk.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And I think that's what...
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jason.
What you had mentioned earlier was actually the book, The Five Love Languages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important for you to understand what your partner's love language is. For me, you know, It's about, you know, acknowledgement. That's really what my
words of affirmation is what they call it in the book.
Yes.
Yeah, let's
absolutely.
List the five love languages.
And by the way, that's mine too, Jason.
Oh, aww. Okay, great. That's great. Glad we're on the same page.
I love you, Bruce. You're wonderful.
Thank you. I needed that. The other four are?
Acts of service.
Mm-hmm, which means?
Doing kind things for the other person
okay.
that are important to them. Touch.
Which is sex and everything else from holding hands. It's all that stuff. It's not just sex. It's touch. Okay, go on.
Any kind of touch, yep.
Right.
Gifts, small gifts.
Meaning receiving gifts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And quality time.
Yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I discovered my love language through reading this book with acts of service, and I wouldn't have guessed that. I would not have been able to predict that unless I read the categories. But I realized that, you know, if my husband were to buy me jewelry or buy me flowers, that would stress me out. I would be like, oh, that was a waste of money. But the other night, I came home from work at 10:30 p.m., and I was thinking, oh, I left the sink filled with dishes. The kitchen was a mess. I'm going to have to clean that when I get home. I'm so tired. And I walked in, and the kitchen was completely spotless. And he did that.
Who did you hire, Jason? Who did you hire? I know you're not capable of doing that. And you're just such a horrible model. I mean, if my wife listens to this show, I am in such trouble. Oh, my God.
Honey, how grateful
am I? I
think
this segment from her then.
Well, thankfully, she doesn't listen to my shows or read anything I write, so I'm safe.
What's also good, what you want to understand also, is that you span over more than just one type of love language. Because not only do I have words of affirmation, but I also have touch as
well,
secondary.
Well, as the book explains, you can have what I call a major and a minor. For me, it was unequivocally words of affirmation. There was no number two. For my wife, it was a major and a minor. Her primary one was gifts received. That's how she feels validated. So ironically, quite different from you, Dr. Weberman. But her second one, which was a close second, was quality time. And so when we realized how different our love languages were, it was a big challenge and is still a big challenge. We're going on 5 years of marriage in 15 days, to be precise, from the airing of this show. And I'm verbal, obviously. My wife is Chinese, comes from a pretty traditional Chinese background. They're not verbal. She didn't grow up that way. And her validation as a young woman was, you know, when her father would buy her a present. So that's how she knows, and then time together. So for me, being the cheap guy that I am, going back to money, you know, I found, okay, well, I'm not going to get her jewelry all the time, which she would like, but I can buy little gifts. And that's not that difficult. And if that will make her happy, so be it.
So
yeah, you'd be surprised at how the little things really do matter. You know, I wrote an article recently, and it was called Warning: Doing Dishes Might Lead to Sex.
Good, good. Well, let's continue with sex, since that's the second landmine, and also allow a little time for talking about the kids.
Absolutely.
Do you want to go ahead, honey, or should I finish it up?
Please continue, my love.
Okay. So, you know, once you figure out what your partner's love language is, you can give to your partner in a way that they need, because what's actually most natural for us is to give to our partner in the way that we want to be given to, but that doesn't always land well for our partner. So if there's anything wrong in the area of intimacy and sex in your relationship, this is a really good place to look and shine a spotlight, and then identify where you're not meeting your partner's needs outside of the bedroom before you try to tackle the areas of the bedroom.
Very interesting. Okay. In so much as we want to cover so much more, let's move on quickly. We have 2 minutes left in this segment to the kids.
Yep.
The
okay.
kids.
Okay, well, I'll handle this one because I'm the child psychologist. So I'm going to say very briefly in this section, because you can't adequately cover this, you know, in any kind of two-minute frame, but it's so important for parents to be on the same page with their children. So if you're a married couple and you have children, this applies to you. I'm going to give you a little exercise to try to get yourselves on the same page. Have a meeting, just the two of you, when you're not going to be interrupted by the kids or the phones, after the kids are in bed or they're out of the house, and sit down, and I'm going to ask you to make three different lists, and this is going to help you guys get on the same page. Number one, make a list of what your core values are. So your values are all of those attributes that are most important to you. So I'm just going to list a few: respect, honesty, integrity, compassion, generosity, whatever it is that's the most important. Those lists of values, that's what you always want to be bringing into your household together. So in your interactions with each other, if respect is on there, that you're speaking to each other and to the children with respect, so that your house is basically encased in your values.
Okay.
Number two.
Move along, because we're running out of time.
Make a list of expectations of behavior that you have in the household for the children, so that you see if you're on the same page, and in any areas where you disagree, come to an agreement. And the third, make a list of consequences for, you know, behavioral infractions that are reasonable, enforceable, and appropriate that you both agree on.
And that you stick to. And that you stick to. Because when you relax. Yes. Wow. So much more. Okay, we're going to take a break. Jason, I think I want to find out what the heck a dating and relationship coach is in the next segment. But we will have to wait, all of you listening, until these commercials are through. So stay tuned.
With your eyes, hold it in your hand. But like the wind, it covers our land. Strong enough to rule the heart of any man. This thing called love. It can lift you up. It can let you down. Take your world, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.